the OSTI submission right now. So
when is the due?
7th of May.
Okay.
On 7th.
Right. So 1 month. Okay.
So the plan is to, right now I have done the programming part of the implementation part of the algorithm.
Okay.
And question is, the I'm stuck at is about the data collection and everything, and how do you make it automated? So that's the part I'm working on right now.
Okay.
Is at what point? Because to test the accuracy of the dynamic allocation, it requires a little bit of pre-processing. Because first you need to have the data, and then you have, because remember that there are some arrays that need to be filled up before in the algorithm, the delta per profits or the little profits over the allocation. So is that the task I'm doing right now is to do the pre-processing part before and integrate it with the algorithm. And later run the algorithm, and when it gets the values, run the experiments again to test that actually it helps the actual allocation.
It improves.
Improves.
The total performance has to improve.
Total performance improves.
So, I mean, based on, we had a brief discussion last week, I guess.
I can discuss all the states. So,
okay.
Right now I have. Can I erase it?
Yeah, you can erase that.
Okay, so right now I have three virtual machines for my experiment. One is the CPU intensive, one is the memory workload that I wrote, and another is the OLTP. I could add Ruby's also. So the idea is to first collect the data for each virtual machine or each workload by varying the allocation with the help of the competing I/O domains.
So basically build the model for each.
Yeah, and build the model for each. And because you need to create the model, because when you do the actual allocation, you need to have data for a lot of combinations of allocations. You cannot really run experiments for all the combinations. Anyway, you have to use the model to get the extra data points.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a huge thing. So the idea is to collect some data and create the model and use this model to populate all the data points you need for the algorithm to run, and once you have this data, you populate the delta P arrays for each algorithm, for each benchmark, then you run the algorithm. So first will be to populate delta P, then run the algorithm, and then once you have the new allocation, you make the changes. Because after you are done with the modeling, you run all the benchmarks together. All the four benchmarks. Until now, we are not running four benchmarks together. We are running only each VM with the CDIO VM. So now you run all the benchmarks together, have some initial allocation, and after that, you run the algorithm to make the next to get the next allocation. So once you have the next allocation, you make the changes to each virtual machine and get the outputs from each virtual machine to see that it actually is improving the performance of the revenue. So that's the whole idea, and you sort of do it on some time gun writing. Delta T and 2 delta T, something like that.
Okay.
just to see that it's actually their revenue is getting higher. And you test it that is actually close to optimal by running the live algorithm also.
What kind of SRA curve are we assuming here? SRA.
SLA curve?
Mm-hmm.
That's I haven't thought about yet. So one
to do the delta piece, you need the SLA curve.
SLA curve.
So that's probably immediately relevant.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm. You could possibly. I mean, it seems like we should use multiple SLA curves. Right.
Ideally, yes.
Yeah. But the base on maybe a media wise, you know.
Yeah.
But then after that, it's just. That is successful, we can throw in some more complicated ones to make it more interesting.
Hmm.
I mean, so can you talk about the actual graph that you're planning to draw?
What will be the last section of the exploratory section result?
Yeah, what
do you want to draw?
Yeah, what are the results that we're looking for?
First result is what I told you. You have different SLA curves, let's say. SLA 1 or something. So you have different SLA cards for each virtual machine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's VM 1, 2, 3. So you have different SLA cards for each virtual machine. And the final graph would be something like this. So you are making dynamic allocation at each interval.
So how do you start?
Start with some equal allocation, let's say.
Mm. Equal allocation of all resources.
All equal partitioning.
Okay.
So now the graph would be, this would be a revenue graph.
Mm.
So you have some initial revenue, right? At starting. With the initial allocation, you have some revenue. So now you see that you're actually going towards maximum.
Okay. So that's one graph. What else?
So eventually you'll have some stabilization of the revenue.
Exactly. And you do it
even more logarithmic graph probably.
You do it with also another graph would be to running the optimized algorithm or the fast algorithm. Another would be to run the naive algorithm.
The naive algorithm, you mean the brute force
algorithm,
which is going to give you the best possible reallocation.
Reallocation,
mm-hmm.
Which will consider all possible cases, all possible for combination.
Do you have the brute force algorithm?
Yes, I have the brute force algorithm.
Then you need another graph for comparison, for comparing the brute force versus your algorithm.
That time complexity.
Yeah. So think about that a little bit, because. Then what else? What are the other graphs?
You can have different combinations of applications. You can have a simple scenario where all the applications are CPU intensive. They all compete for the same type of resources. A more complex scenario, you have all different applications with different type of resource demand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're running that all.
Yeah, all CPU or
just changing the SLA curve.
Yeah, right. So that way you can zoom in on the SLK, right? The impact of the SLK,
right?
But focus on one single type of resources. I think one assumption we are making here in all of this is that the amount of I/O competition doesn't change substantially in each reallocation operation. So we could have some data to support that assumption. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of graph could we
draw for that? But things that when you go from delta T to delta T, your computing error will change.
I know it will change, but the thing is, how much does it change? Because we are assuming some stability of...
That's within a delta T. Within a delta T. When you are doing an allocation here,
mm.
You're assuming that your computing IO is not changing that much.
and winning K delta.
I know.
So we need to show that within K delta allocation, the competing IO doesn't change that much.
So maybe you wanted graph for competing IO for different delta, and so that's a delta increment of.
Yeah. I mean, one thing is how do we choose K
and delta?
And I think that means that choice needs to depend on the competing IO characteristics, right, for different resources.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be good if we sort of, instead of choosing a K and delta right away, have a more sound methodology for choosing those values by exploring how competing IO changes as we change both K and delta. Well, basically K delta in some sense. So what I'm expecting is something like, okay, if I'm sort of have an array of plots where each of these plots is going to be for a resource, and this is competing IO, right? So I have a plot which looks like maybe this. And then we say, okay, we set up a threshold for competing IO, which we assume that the competing IO actually does not significantly change. And then we have cutoffs for minus K delta and plus K delta, right, for each resource. And this will sort of give us some sense of what K delta should look like for each resource type.
Yeah, because delta K would be different for
us. Yeah. So this will inform as to, for each resource, how much can that resource allocation change in one one reallocation step without significantly impacting the computing area.
So do that, for example, you are in one virtual machine, you do the K delta changes, plus K delta or minus K delta, but you monitor the computing from others, right?
Yeah, but this experiment could be done without any,
things that each of these changes combined by other changes here.
I think for each application, we need to do this graph separately with a competing IO domain.
With the competing IO. But things that you need to change the allocation of the competing IO domain in that case.
Yeah, you change the allocation.
So for example, you do the K delta changes here, that means you add K delta or subtract K delta in the competing IO domain also. Otherwise, you won't find the effect or accurate effect.
That's not what I mean, actually. Okay, so what is it that we are assuming? We are assuming that
the computing IO doesn't change within the short boundary.
Yeah, within small change in the resources, the computing IO characteristics for each VM does not change. Not just for one VM. We are reallocating for all VMs.
Right? VM doesn't change.
For each VM, we are making an assumption that the competing IO does not change as a consequence of the reallocation.
Competing IO doesn't change, or?
Why do we have this assumption? This kind of a graph. Why do we have this assumption?
The assumption was that we are not controlling the competing IO.
We are not controlling the competing IO. But we can observe it, right?
We can observe current competing IO. Right?
Mm.
But when you make a change of resources,
okay.
You won't have to assume a competition before you make a change. After the change, the competing IO remains stable, I can assume that the future competing IO is the current competing IO.
That is reasonable. It's kind of just a rudimentary prediction. So we assume whatever we see now.
The thing is that when you do the K delta changes, when you do a delta change, the computing IO won't affect that much. But when you do a K delta change, it's bound to.
That's the whole point, right? What is K and what is delta? My delta would be K delta. I could say delta equals K delta, right? we are trying to understand what K delta should be.
Yeah, but I'm trying to...
Maybe, what should be K and what should be delta for each resource?
Maybe that's experimental reporting that he needs to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
okay,
we should
varying K, what is the impact, and varying delta, what is the impact?
So I was thinking of having like an array of graphs, right? One for each VM. So for each resource. So on one axis I have, let's say y-axis, I have all the VMs, all the workloads. And on this axis I have all the resource types. Right?
Okay.
And I do a profiling to say, okay, and then so I'm going to have an array of graphs because I have four resource types, I have, I don't know, four different VMs. Each of these graphs is going to be this curve that I told you about before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that will tell me what should be K delta for that.
That's actually the boundary.
For that resource type, for that workload. Ideally, what we want is, in the perfect scenario, the same K delta for all the workloads. If you can show that for all workloads, K delta is sort of in the same range, then we could just go ahead and use the same K delta bounds for each workload. So this graph will tell us if that assumption is valid or not.
More complex if the K delta is different.
And that also, this also sort of depends on what is the current allocation, right, in some sense.
I have a wild question. So if we can determine what the computation IO will be based on the CPU and memory allocation, then we don't need that extra input anymore.
If we can determine what is the computing IO?
If we can determine what is the IO bandwidth usage, right, for each virtual machine,
uh-huh,
based on the CPU and memory allocation,
yeah,
then we don't need to take the computation IO as the input or the model anymore.
What is the usage?
For the
specific VM,
right,
or all VMs?
No,
or
for a specific VM, right?
You still need to take computing IO into account because the usage does not guarantee the performance, right? So I might require 10 megabytes per second, but then I'm competing with 100 megabytes per second. Maybe I get only 1 megabyte per second.
I think the usage of the whole VM, not the one single VM.
Yeah, so because you have the usage for each single VM, so...
Usage of the whole VM will definitely...
Right, so whenever you do modeling, when you're considering one VM, you can take the other VM's computing IO, right? You can calculate that, right? But I'm seeing...
In the future? After the reallocation?
Oh, that matters. Because not very lot of modeling, what you use as inputs is CPU allocation, memory allocation, and the computing IO, right? So basically three inputs. Right?
Yeah.
If you can calculate the third one based on
the
first two, right? If you can calculate the third one based on the first two, then we don't need the third one as the input anymore.
Yeah, the problem is that it's
right,
a closed loop system,
uh-huh,
right? My usage is going to depend on the computation.
Mm-hmm.
So given a certain amount of CPU and memory, the I/O bandwidth that I'm going to use is going to depend on what is the computation.
So that curve won't give us that.
That curve will tell me, for instance,
how stabilized and the computing I/O.
Yeah. If I make a change of, certain, let's say, 10% CPU for my OLTP, does that result in a significant change in
computing I/O?
No, in its own.
In its own
IO?
Like it's computing IO.
Oh, yeah. I'm messing up something here.
So what you need to do, that's what I'm saying, that for example, to generate this graph, what you need to do is that if you change K delta, plus K delta, let's say 10% CPU increment to the OLTP, you need to do the 10% CPU decrement in CDIO VM.
Okay.
And monitor the computing IO.
That's one way. The other way you can do it is you can take K and delta as a parameter,
uh-huh,
and draw this graph for multiple instances of this graph with various K and delta and see how it impacts. Because if you have a large K delta value, then the accuracy will decrease, and if you have a small K delta value,
K is the main thing. K delta is the main thing.
So in that case, we are saying, well, how to determine K and delta is not our contribution. Figure it out by trial and error on your own. What I was going to say is to suggest some way to determine what K and delta should be. What are the bounds on K and delta at least? So this becomes sort of more useful in some sense.
So what is the value of the K delta? Ideally, the K delta value should be such that the competing IO change is not that much. That's the definition of the K delta.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. That's the basic definition. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the basic definition.
If you make a K delta change, so your competing IO, the CDIOPH, is below some threshold.
Yeah, then draw the graph off of that and see how that K delta.
That's the problem. I don't see how to draw the graph. Because if I make it, how do I draw the graph for each VM in isolation?
Yeah, that's the thing. So first you have.
Let's assume that it's the OLTP benchmark.
So for example, in OLTP benchmark, you do a plus K delta change to its CPU.
Well, remember that you don't know what K delta or K and delta is. The point is to determine what K delta is, right?
So you have to try with several combinations.
So you assume some increment.
So you have K delta to its CPU, and that has to be done by deallocating some K delta from CDIOBM. Otherwise, you won't see the exact effect.
This becoming too complex.
I mean, that's what you do in the dynamic allocation. You make some change, that change is actually, you do some increment, that means you do some decrementing. Otherwise, I'm not wasting any resource.
What is a CDIOBM?
Competing just for modeling.
Random IO. Okay. By the way, that's just the other button machine, right?
Sorry?
When you really do experiments, that's
even the other button. My sense is that it will be much better if you do the K delta thing, if you push aside the K delta thing for now and move on for some question. Assume that K delta has been derived by some iterative way or something. And later on in the paper itself, we report that how the K delta changes, value of the K delta changes the graphs.
Mm-hmm. Or you could just pick one of the questions that is the most IO intensive and see what is the K delta, because that should give you the smallest K delta.
Just focus
on the most IO intensive application that you are considering.
Mm-hmm.
And calculate K delta based on that application. That you can do.
Because that will be the smallest one.
That will be the smallest one. If that's good enough for you, then you just stay with that.
For each resource type. So we need to determine K delta for each resource type.
You need to determine the K delta for the resource type for which the change in the IO will be the maximum.
For each resource type, the delta values are
maybe different, right?
Yeah. Because, for instance, with CPU, you have like 5%.
Yeah.
With memory, you have 100 megabytes. Sorts of things. Or maybe we could do everything in percentage ways.
I think you need to normalize the K delta, at least. Otherwise, it's becoming too complex.
Either way, just two curves, right? Application you have here, OLTP is the most intensive.
Mm-hmm.
You just draw this curve for OLTP.
This is also very
high. The memory, it'd be swap. If you have a swapping, then the swapping one will be more intensive.
OLTP is not that case.
Maybe it's most buffered. Okay. But the one of them, right, then you draw this curve by varying the allocation of CPU and draw it again by varying the allocation for memory.
Okay.
And you can come up K delta for both of them.
But this memory benchmark is sort of an artificial benchmark.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I mean, it's okay, we had it for the modeling work, But for a real dynamic resource allocation, I think we can keep it for now, but my suspicion is that it will create lots of problems for us during the dynamic resource, because very sensitive to the amount of memory.
Mm.
And then no. If it's above that, it's going to be very dynamic.
No, we can make it some.
Yeah.
Something like the, we can look. It's not a real application.
Yeah.
But KDelta, you need to come up with some unit or something. The definition of a KDelta.
So one thing we could do for KDelta is, because delta is the minimum increment or unit of increment or decrement.
Yeah. For a specific reason.
So we, for specific reason. So we can make it as a percentage.
Yeah, percentage is good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be easier.
Yeah.
Than making separate deltas for each resource. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's some percent, let's say 5%.
Yeah.
And K is number of times.
So far, yeah, that's probably a lot.
Number of times.
Number of times means?
That's number of times you can do the
steps.
Number of steps.
Then 5% is too much.
5% is too much?
Depends on what K is, I guess. If K is 2 or 3.
K is 2 or 3, then. For example, if you don't do 5%, you won't see effect.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Okay. So there is a minimal value also.
And I think Roger has a good point. The memory benchmark may not be a good benchmark for this data.
Yeah, I mean, for now we can leave it in
mm-hmm.
because we don't have any other benchmark.
There is no memory, standard memory benchmark?
I don't know. Because the problem is whenever you have a memory intensive benchmark, it is also CPU intensive benchmark.
Okay.
The not really very, very memory intensive benchmark. And I think maybe for these people, we should consider more GPU applications like OSGP.
Mm.
And we have a lot of TPC benchmarks we can choose from.
I like the how the your other student did the benchmark, the real life application thing. The lady.
Medha.
That because that those kind of applications basically run in the virtual machine. And those benchmark is pretty convincing. Really.
Yeah, I guess we could do something like that. But there's a lot of variability in the load for those in the real thing, the real world thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Here we are assuming that the load is constant. It's very hard, otherwise the model changes completely.
Mm-hmm.
So we are assuming that the load is the same.
For OSJ is good, right? I think for OSJ is, start with this one because I don't like
that. I think like for instance, TPCW, if you fix the number of clients, it should be pretty stable.
Yeah.
You can consider it. And TPCW is pretty CPU intensive.
Because I want to keep something for the OSJ that will, so that you don't miss the deadline again.
Right.
Missing too many deadlines.
Yeah, we don't really have a lot of time.
Yeah.
So that's important.
Yeah, we'll send something to us.
Mm. I think TPCW may be a good candidate. Do you have a CPU benchmark which represents the CPU intensive scientific application, whatever, the one web server, web benchmark, and database benchmark.
Mm.
Seems to be a good combination.
TPCW is the only web server. It has two tiers.
It has a database backend, but it's not a very
very light database.
Yes, very light.
Just
static web server. Mostly static web requests.
That might be, I don't know, maybe easier to set up than Rubis, because you're planning to do Rubis, right? Rubis Web and Rubis TV.
TPCW is an implementation available.
Mm.
I think it was the same Wisconsin people, right?
There are a few implementations for TPCW.
So I guess that's up to you whether you want to pick up on Rubis or TPCW.
So memory we can discard?
Yeah, that's it. We could discard it or we could keep it for now and see what we get. It's a very, very, very challenging benchmark. If we are able to use that, then I think that's great. But my suspicion is that we might have run into troubles. It's okay to model in isolation, but when you start putting these things together and you make a delta K change and suddenly everything explodes, right, with memory benchmark. So it's not gradual. It has this step behavior.
You want something that is tractable.
See what I'm saying? With the delta K change in memory size, that's going to be completely different behavior than.
Mm-hmm.
So Lubis is similar to TPCW. So it's your choice which one you want to use. Okay, and if you need to speed it up, you can talk to my student Nishi. She's using both of them.
Ruby and TPCW?
Yes.
Okay, that's
it. Mm. So she can even give you her virtual machine.
So she already has the implementation, I'm sure.
In Zen?
Yeah, Zen virtual machine, yeah.
Okay. You can just copy the virtual machine stuff from there.
Yeah.
Nishi, just tell me the disk image.
Yeah.
So, okay, so maybe that might be more appropriate.
Yeah,
it's also more believable than the memory benchmark.
Yeah.
About the.
Let's see, I would keep the benchmark. I have collected already a lot of data for the memory.
That's fine, I think, yeah. And actually, it might not be as bad as I was thinking before.
I mean, I could do it in a certain way.
Mm.
For example, I could keep the LSI always above the memory it could have. In that way, it won't make an export.
You make sure it doesn't stretch.
Also, the modeling accuracy would be much better.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, that makes sense. What else? Yeah, but that benchmark will dominate the I/O. The I/O requirement, because
that will be the I/O-intensive application also.
But swapping happens.
Yeah.
And thrashing, right.
So I think for K delta, it might be okay to just make certain assumptions about K delta and show graphs with different values of K delta, like what you suggest.
Whenever you have K and delta, the obvious difference is one. If you don't vary the K delta on the x-axis, then we will come back and say, what is the value of the K delta? How do you determine the K delta? What is the impact of K delta? Those things, blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
So you need something on the K delta, but you need to think of how to. What Raju said, that will be very good, but I think
we can add it later.
That may be much extensive anyway. I'm not sure whether you will have time to do that.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I think it's okay to not go in that direction.
Let's start
for the time.
5% of the 2-3.
Yeah. Okay. And
another thing I will ask you is, think about the last section of the paper, and draw the graph, and then do the experiment.
Okay.
Draw the graph means what kind of graph you expect, at least, and what will be x-axis, y-axis, and etc. Really, and at least go to that with Raju, and maybe in the next group, I think, because you don't want to get into a situation where, okay, I need, at the end of the day, I need another graph like this for this. I need this data, and you don't have this data.
You probably need another, like the tables that we had in the previous paper for these new experiments in terms of the model accuracy as well, the model prediction accuracy. Because you're going to create the model anyway. You might as well
create a bit of more data at this
stage. Yeah, and test it and make sure that you have accuracy values that you can show in the paper. So people believe you that these are actually, the models actually make sense.
Okay.
The algorithm itself, of course, is takes these models as input, and then you have to show the accuracy or the effectiveness of the algorithm. And that's where we have this one graph, but that's not the only graph that we should have. We need other data to present for OSTI. So we need to think more carefully.
But first we need
these
graphs.
But other than that, you need more.
So you want to think about what are the different kinds of graphs that you want to show in the paper. what are the different messages you want to convey from these experiments.
Okay. So another important discussion is that is to just run the algorithm is how do you go from the throughput value to SLA.
Because there we are making some assumption of SLA curves, right? You mean throughput value to the revenue?
To the revenue.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's much easy. We'll just assume some graph. We'll start with the linear, then we'll take a quadratic, then take a log linear.
The problem I see is that because I think we need some kind of normalization across all the virtual machines because these throughput metrics are in different scales. So if we just assume a simple thing, then
throughput metrics may be different scale, and the SLA may be different also.
But the dependency.
Dependency may be different. I'll give an example. So for example, for me, response time may be the most important thing. For Raju's application, he may not think about the response time. He may say, okay, I want to know how many transactions per second is the most.
It reports different things. For example, OLTP reports transactions per second, CPU reports response time, memory reports throughput.
That's fine. The SLA should be defined based on the whatever. SLA curve is not uniform across all the applications.
Okay.
Each and every application
has its own SLA curve.
Because the way the SLA curve is defined, say for example, I am the application owner, and he is the owner of the data center. Then I deal with him, and I will say, come up with a contract saying that okay, throughput is the most important one. If you can give me this throughput, I'll pay you this one. Give me this throughput, I'll pay you this one. When Ming will come this one, then he will give you something.
The question is that because these are in different number scales. For example, CPU is maybe I found it is in the range of 20 to 55, some number. Some number. Memory is in the range of 300 to 20,000.
Yeah.
So these numbers are very varied.
Yeah.
But then
at the end of
the how is the revenue is actually comparable? I mean, if you just put it to some, let's say it's to $20, then always the CPU will be biased.
No. $20, you will put for application CPU, it is $20 per throughput.
Just normalize the revenue.
And right. you're translating everyone to the dollar.
Right.
I think.
So basically, if you put the say that the maximum amount of money I'm going to pay is $100, it starts from $1 to $100. You just map 10 to 55 to 1 to 100. Okay. Using some curve, right? Same thing, you map 300 to 20,000 to 1 to 100. Then so you normalize the revenue. But each application has its own curve.
With some curve.
That's normal, right? They can be even the same kind of
yeah.
curve.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that makes a lot of sense to normalize all these ranges basically.
So each should go to some range 1 to 100, you think?
The y axis should go from 1 to 100.
For each application.
The
right.
x-axis would be dependent on the specific application.
Mm-hmm. Application.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, so the x-axis, you could just say min and max value of the x-axis maps
right.
to
right.
1 and 100 of the y-axis.
Right.
And then the dependency, so you have 2 points, you can create a line, you can, you also can do other kinds of dependencies, quadratic or whatever it is.
You may want to, in revenue graph, you're having a revenue graph for total revenue graph for the whole thing. You may want to look at the revenue graph for each individual application also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that may give you some interesting result to the reviewer. That's okay. It may happen that one particular application you are decreasing the revenue and another particular application you are increasing the revenue.
Exactly.
Well,
so
that's a non-trivial decision.
I think we talked about that at some point, to have not just one line but as many lines as we have VMs. Right? So you have let's say one which is one line per VM. right? And this is sort of total, right? So for total, you should see an increasing thing. And then I have CPU, I have memory, well, I don't know if we have this or not, OLTP, and then I have a couple more, right? So for some it's increasing, the others is decreasing, right? So you'll see that, and this is a summation of all of these.
Exactly.
It should always be increasing.
Exactly. That will be very interesting.
I mean, getting here actually is fairly challenging. So I think we should get here as early as possible, because in the process of getting there, we'll run into lots of problems, I'm anticipating. So your goal is to get that as soon as you can.
Yeah, it's challenging. You have one more. Oh, STI is a fast carry.
I'm confused about this with mapping.
Okay.
So, because if you say that everything should map to 1 to 100,
yes,
with some function.
Yeah.
So let's say min value of CPU performance and max value of CPU performance. You have these two numbers. Can you get that?
I get that.
Min value gives you $1. Max value gives you $100 for the CPU benchmark.
X minus mean divided by max minus.
But that's the problem. That's what I'm saying. That the thing is that if everything you match to max to 100, then everything is equally. Then all the max of memory, OLTP, CPU is $100.
Sure.
But don't you think it's a problematic?
Well, that's one. I mean, you could assume whatever you want for the SLI curve.
Mm-hmm.
This is one way to do it, so that you don't have like completely different. You know, let's say a dominating VM which just gets way more money, so it gets all the resources.
No, that's how it's done. I mean, for example, they are in some priority, let's say 1:2:4.
But that's, we are running a different model. We are not running a priority.
It's a priority.
It's not there in your model. Is that there in your algorithm?
No, what I'm saying is that because the previous papers also do dynamic allocation based on the priority, but that's priority.
Yeah, but the priority may be 1:1:1.
Yeah, what if it is, I mean, we are assuming 1:1:1.
You can change the priority later.
Yeah, you can
change. You can change the priority easily by changing the revenue, defining the max.
Exactly.
The thing is the priority is already captured by the SLI curve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Priority will be captured. You don't need the priority. Your priority can be captured in the SLI curve itself.
Yeah. See, in the end, what's going to happen is that there is going to be very different kind of dependency between allocation, resource allocation, and the performance metric for each of these VMs. And then from the performance to the SLA, we have very similar kind of projections, right? But because the first step is different, that is allocation to performance is very different, when you do allocation to revenue, that's again going to be very different for each VM.
Yeah.
Which is why we actually move from the initial equal allocation. Otherwise, the initial equal allocation will be the best allocation.
Right.
The difference comes because the dependency from allocation to performance is very, very different for each VM.
Okay.
And that's why we
mm-hmm.
sort of move away from that equal allocation.
And that's the whole nutshell of the paper. So that's a core point
here.
What is the decision date for STI?
Decision date? It's usually 3 months away from the submission.
So it's August.
Yeah. Is there some other deadline you're having?
Middleware
is also May, around May that time.
Mm.
And this is actually a good fit for middleware as well.
Right. Yeah, just thinking. OSPI may be too tight.
Middleware is around mid-May.
No, let's first think about OSPI. Then I will just postpone.
But the thing is, if you keep missing that, you know.
Let's focus on OSPI.
Mm-hmm.
For with some bad luck, if we are not able to make OSPI, we have middleware as a backup.
Also, we would know. I mean, with the point, even if something, we would know it's going to be accepted or not. That's for sure.
Yeah.
pips, it's not strong enough.
You can just think of it where it's going to be ejected. If anything, any flaw, I'm sure it's going to be ejected.
Yeah. So I was just saying, if it's not in a really good shape, you feel that there's no chance to get in your SDN, maybe we should try something else.
No, but if we really have this nice graph,
yeah,
if we have this graph, then we can think about not putting in middleware. Then I won't probably want to send it to
you. Middleware is actually... Hey, Mark.
Hey.
That looks
so big, but you're
pretty busy now.
Come back later.
We're almost done.
Is it around 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock? Ah, we're on.
Okay, yeah. I'll find it later.
Thanks. Okay. Middleware is actually not bad when you're at all.
I'll probably send it to you.
No, I'm just saying that, I mean, we should target OSDI, but if we're not able to make it to OSDI, I mean, it doesn't mean that we'll make it to middleware. Even middleware is very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try to get that graph as early as possible.
That getting that graph is the key thing. Focus on getting the graph. Because I can see that you will end up having, you will sending a lot of emails saying that I'm having this problem,
I mean, you could also maybe start just with the y-axis being normalized performance metric. It doesn't have to be revenue. And if you're wondering about how do I map performance to revenue, that's
okay.
So this could just be normalized performance. So, you know, the highest performance for CPU, highest performance for memory, all of those map to, let's say, 100% performance.
Okay.
Right? And here you just show normalized performance
for each.
And then this total is the combined normalized performance.
Because if you make the normalized performance, you can just map it to the...
Yeah, and we can have multiple graphs very easily for different SLA curves.
Yeah,
I think normalized performance makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the total would be the sum of
this normal. Sum of all the normalized performance values.
And in terms of the accuracy of my data collection, so one thing I see that before I modeled with one virtual machine, which is competing I/O virtual machine. I don't run the accuracy of the model running all the virtual machines.
That's not feasible, right? Because you ahead of time you don't know which VMs are going to be co-located. So
no, there is. I'm talking about another problem because what I did is that. So in scenarios what I did is so you have the target virtual machine VMF and you have the CDIO VM.
Yeah.
The way I was doing it that I was making changes to this VM and I'm keeping the allocations of this computing IO domain constant. So I was making 20% CPU, exactly I did this, 256 megabytes, that's it. And ionize I didn't set it to ionize. And what I did is that I keep the sum of the CPU of one less than 80 to just to make something free for DOM 0.
Okay.
So the question I'm asking is that, things that when I'm doing CPU is 20% here, so a lot of CPU is wasted.
Sure.
So won't that the competing IOPS would matter if I give 20% and here 60% instead of just keeping it constant? Because that's what would happen in the real scenario.
Here you're trying to model stuff, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to create a model for this VMF.
Right.
What do you want for the model? You only want to compute an IO value. The other parameters of the model are coming from the VM app. And you don't care about the allocations of the competing IO. In terms of CPU and memory, no, it doesn't matter. It's not part of the model.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what kind of allocation are you. Just a matter of the computing IO.
Yeah, the computing IO ops is what you want to control. Now, you want if you want to do something like this,
something like this guy, then I need to do.
Then maybe you want to make changes here as well, but I'm not sure. I need to think a lot more about how to get this. I mean, I thought it would be straightforward, but on second thought, it doesn't seem to be.
Okay, so I can work towards this problem.
Also think about what are the other messages you want to convey in the experiment section and what kind of graphs can we show. So reconsider all the other aspects of the paper, what are the contributions, and that will indicate maybe some other experiments that, and maybe not experiments, maybe some other data that we want to show. Okay, so I think there is nothing else. We should stop and we should set up maybe once a week meeting time going forward.
You said Monday.
Monday seems to be the day that we are both available here. Ming, what is your availability?
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Monday is too early this week.
Probably I would meet sometime you during next week. Probably I can meet you in between.
And then we can do Monday.
We can do next Monday.
Okay.
We'll have some data.
So next Monday, what time? Any restrictions?
After doing his bed.
Yeah.
Probably I'll visit.
Yeah. After doing his bed.
Yeah.
After?
For me,
afternoon.
Yeah, I'm fine anytime.
Yeah, for me, 2 to 4, 5 p.m. actually I'm busy, so can we do 1 to 2 p.m?
Probably. I don't have the calendar probably. Probably
2 p.m.
Yeah.
Not this one, but the next Monday.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
So I'll see you guys following Monday.
Yeah.
I'll meet you sometime.
Yeah, we can meet. Maybe let's say Thursday or something.